pray. Father, just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray that any words that are spoken today that do not have life, that we would forget them and they would become non-effective in our life. But Father, any words that are spoken that have life and freedom and liberty, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would bring them into our remembrance and that we could use them to be life givers, to be life producers as we walk on this earth. Father, I just pray for Caitlin and Tyler. I just pray, Father, you'd bless their marriage. Father, that it would be for eternity. Father, they would be productive for your kingdom. Father, that they would do those things that you have for them in this life. Father, I just pray for our church, that each one of us would seek you, that we would know what our gifts are that you have given us so freely. And that we would take those gifts and we would embrace them, Father, and that we would use them for your glory. And Father, I pray especially for the 20-somethings. Father, that they would pursue God as being number one. Father, I just pray that you'd guard their hearts, emotionally and spiritually. Father, that they would have purity in all of their relationships. Father, help them to deal with temptation. And Father, I just pray that they'd be led by the Spirit in their jobs, their careers, their relationships. They'd be led by the Spirit in their godly living. And Father, that you would produce and help them produce good soil in the heart so that you can be a revelation through them to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I really believe a lot of you young people are going to be awesome.
Yes.
In God's kingdom.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. Okay, today we're going to talk about living a life of righteousness. A life of righteousness. That is a life that's free from sin, isn't it? Any of us sin this morning? But you know, we have a way that we can live a life of righteousness. The Bible tells us, and everyone is at a different level in this Christian walk, and that doesn't matter. The most important thing is that no matter where we are, we have a driving desire to go to the next level. That's what we need to do to reveal Jesus in our life. We have to be willing to go to that next level, no matter where we are. Righteousness is right standing with God. Of course, we got that through Jesus Christ going to the cross, shedding his blood, going into hell, taking all of our sin, and rising again to give us eternal life. It's rightness with God. And I like this one. Righteousness is proven innocence. Jesus has proven to God the Father that we are innocent. Isn't that awesome? Satan can't have any sin or any wrongdoing held against us because Jesus has proven us innocent before the throne of God. Wow. Proven innocence. Okay, in Psalms 119 and verse 72, well, in 1 Corinthians 5:21, it says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that righteousness is our salvation, isn't it? That's what we receive from Christ. That's how we come before the throne of grace, pure and innocent. The righteousness that we're talking about today is the righteousness that we live, that we walk in, that we project to the world that we reflect, that we mirror every day of our life. That's the righteousness that I want to concentrate on today, is that righteousness that we live in our daily life. In Psalms 119:72, it says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." See, so as we read God's word and as we take that into our heart, it can conform us and make us righteous, can it? As we're on this earth, as we're walking our daily walk. In Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's a promise from God's word. And that's for today and tomorrow and the rest of our life. God has promised us. If we hunger and thirst. You know, we went to Turkey and Paul and Lee took us down to Perige, where Paul and John Mark and Barnabas walked on those Roman roads, and it was hot. It was hot. And we drank a lot of water, a lot of water. And I was thinking, you know, I should be drinking, hungering and thirsting after that righteousness like I am this water today. What a blessing to walk on those Roman roads where those righteous men walked. You know, I just want to challenge all of us. You know, people say, well, that was for the apostles. You know, they did all these signs, miracles, and wonders, you know. That's not for today. I don't agree with that. The reason the apostles, I believe, could do it is because they walked a life of righteousness and purity and holiness. I really believe they not only tithe their money, I believe they tithe their time in the Facebook. And I'm challenging all of us, myself included, that we would tithe 10% of our 16 hours awake time to reading the Word of God every day. That's 1.6 hours. And I also challenge us that we can give an offering of reading, just like we do with money. That we could give an offering to read this word. Because this is how we can lead a righteous and pure and holy life. As we respond to his message, as we look full into his wonderful face. Today we want to see how Jesus can help us walk a life of purity, walk a life of holiness, and walk a life of righteousness. I want to reiterate, don't feel condemned today, because we're going to talk about some things that might require some change. And like I said, when God shows me this stuff, it's for me first. But I just want to share these things that he's been sharing with me. Okay, this walk of purity, the walk of holiness, the walk of righteousness, it produces sanctification. It sets us apart from the world. It makes our heart a sanctuary, a holy place, a place where Jesus can dwell and grow. And then he can reflect to the world who he is through us. He can mirror himself to the world, and they can see that. I know in Turkey there was a lieutenant colonel I got to speak in Turkey, and he was there, and he had been born again in March. And his wife was from Iraq, and she was born again before him. And it was tremendous. He said the reason he accepted Jesus is because of Lee and Paul. And the people in the church, what they saw, how they loved each other. That's why he accepted Jesus. Because they allowed Jesus to be reflected, to be mirrored to him. And he accepted that Jesus that was in them, within them, the hope of glory. That was tremendous. And I think if we live that life of righteousness, holiness, and purity, Sometimes we don't have to speak the words of salvation, but they shall come from within us, from our sanctuary, from our heart. We want that heart. I love that song. Lord, make me a sanctuary, a holy place, a place that's set apart. Okay, so today we're going to be challenged to become unselfish. And like I said, we're all at different levels, so let's not be offended. Let's take God's word and use it so that we can go to that next level, so that we can grow and that we can become like him. Okay, let's go to Peter. I want you all to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. And, I always like to, I always knew the 50 states and capitals ever since the fifth grade. You know, I kind of prided myself in that. But one day I says to myself, you know, if I know 50 states and capitals, I should be able to know 50 names of Jesus. So I wrote down 72. Then I found a book at the bookstore that had 365. So I didn't know them all. But it's just fun to learn these names. And Susie bought a picture. And it had about 30 or 40 names of Jesus on there. One day I had that in my lazy boy. And I was just looking at them, reading them. One of them was a shepherd and the bishop of my soul. And that's found in Peter. But there's three words that can be used. It's overseer, the shepherd and overseer of my soul, the shepherd and the guardian of my soul, and the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. It's just awesome how Jesus has taken care of us and how he loves us so much. You know, I was thinking the other day when Jesus went to heaven, when he exploded out of that grave, when God brought him into heaven, I was thinking, man, I bet Jesus did a victory lap all over heaven. But you know what? I don't think he did. You know what I think he did? He got down on his knees. He started praying for Peter and John and Mark and James. See, Jesus is totally selfless. He is unselfish to the umpteenth degree. That's the kind of Lord and Savior that we have. That's why he can minister to us through his word, because there's nothing in it for him. It's all for us. We can have gain spiritually. And like Roger said, we can have a lot of fun. It's just amazing, our Savior. You know, Paul in Corinthians, he says, I'm the chief sinner of all the apostles. Then in Ephesians, he says, I'm the chief sinner of all the saints. And then in Timothy, he says, I'm the chief sinner of all sinners. And I really believe that Paul, as he matured in Christ Jesus, as he became aware of who he was and who Jesus was, that he became very, very humble. Because he saw Jesus in his complete being. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to see him in his fullness. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And we can do that through his Facebook. Some of these young guys gave up Facebook the other day. Awesome. I thought that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not that everybody has to give that up, but they thought they were spending too much time or whatever, and hopefully that time now will go, or has gone, to reading his word, to tithing their time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's read 1 Peter 3, and we'll start in verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. See, he's not asking us anything that he didn't do. He set the standard, he set the example. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Have we ever done that? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's a good lesson to learn, isn't it? We commit ourselves to him who judges righteously. It's not our job to revile and to get even. Oh, if Jesus, he had every right to. Every right to get even. With the Roman soldiers, with the whipping, with the nailing, with pushing those thorns into his skull. I mean, they weren't easy on him. They did everything they possibly could to make his life miserable. Yet he did not revile them. Who he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And I remember when I read in Colossians 2:14 about Jesus, when he came out of that grave, he went back to the cross. And he nailed every debt and every decree that was against us, that Satan could hold against us in the last judgment. And he nailed it to the cross. And that's for every man, woman, and child in the world. The only thing is that we have to accept him. We have to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And then those sins are gone forever. As far as the east is from the west, it says in Psalms chapter 1. You know, that's not Dodge Center to Rochester. That's from one end of the universe to the other. That's how far our sins are separated from God. I mean, can you fathom that? How complete that resurrection from the dead. It was our resurrection from the dead. Jesus was alive in heaven. It was our resurrection. And he did it willingly because he loved us. And that's why I think our motivation to be holy, to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be righteous, to be pure. Our motivation should be love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's what Paul saw as he matured and he got older. He saw that more and more and more and more. And he loved the Lord Jesus more and more and more every day. Because he knew him. And because he got to know him better every day. That should be our goal. And we're not there yet. But like it says in Philippians chapter 4, that we press on toward that upward goal in Christ Jesus. Okay, now, it says here that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, wow, we're dead to sin, aren't we, through the Lord Jesus Christ, might live for righteousness. That's present tense. That's today. That's tomorrow. That's next week, next month, next year, until we meet him. He wants us to live for righteousness. Hallelujah. By whose stripes you were healed. I can't get into that today. But for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. I just love that. Shepherd and overseer of our soul. The soul here means our heart, our mind, our life. Jesus wants to oversee that. He wants to guide. He wants to be our guide in righteous living. Susie and I just got back from Europe and we had a wonderful guide. But Jesus make him look like a rookie. Jesus wants to guide us in this life of righteousness. He wants to be our overseer. He wants us to submit to him so that he can guide us down that path of righteousness. That's what Jesus wants to do for us. He's more than willing. And then it says that he is a shepherd and guardian of our souls. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, it says that God is faithful. He will not allow Satan to tempt us beyond what we are able. But he has given us a way of escape from our sin. Wow. See, we can live a life of righteousness, can't we? We can live that life because he said he is faithful. He will not allow Satan to tempt us beyond what we are able. And he also will give us a way of escape from that sin. That's pretty awesome. That's a pretty good Lord. A great, great Savior. In Peter, it talks about... In 1 Peter, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That word kept is a military term. And what he's talking about here is our salvation. Our righteousness that we get at salvation, he's going to keep that. We are kept. He's guarding that righteousness forever, for eternity. So if we live that Christian life, that righteous life, that holy life, that pure life, and they bring persecution on us, the world, we have no fear. We can have peace. We are kept. Jesus Christ is our guardian of our salvation, of our soul. That is awesome. Satan can't take it away from us. Man cannot take it away from us, our eternal salvation, our eternal righteousness. So to live this life of righteousness, we don't need to fear what man will do to us. On our daily life, we can walk in that. The reason being so that the world can see Jesus, that we can reflect him, that we can mirror Jesus, the hope of glory to the world around us. And then it says, let me go to Timothy first. 4. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's just another assurance of our salvation, that he will protect us no matter what man does to us, no matter what Satan does to us. We're guaranteed our eternal salvation. So let's not be a bunch of scaredy cats about living this righteous life, about living a holy life, about living a life of purity before God. Because God has given us guardianship through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And then it says in Peter, it says that he is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Hallelujah. He's a teacher. He's going to teach us how to walk this Christian life of righteousness, of holiness, of purity. He's going to instruct us. That's why he's got his Facebook, so that we can read his word and we can understand fully how he wants us to walk this life of righteousness, of purity, of holiness, how our heart can become sanctified. Okay, in John 14, John 14 and verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. See, when our life of righteousness, purity, and holiness is motivated by love, the promise here is that Jesus is going to manifest himself to us, to the world, so they can see his glory. He's going to reflect us to the world. Not us, but Jesus through us to the world. He's going to mirror Jesus through our life. In Ezekiel 11, it talks about that stony heart, how God wants to replace. Ezekiel 11, verse 19, it talks about how he wants to replace that heart, a heart of flesh. And then it says in Corinthians, this is just awesome. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, in the heart. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be epistle of Jesus Christ. He wants our heart not to be written in tablets of stone, but to be written by the Spirit of the living God, his commandments, the things that he wants us to do. And then in Luke 17, 21, it says, the kingdom of God is within you. When Jesus told the disciples to pray, he said, pray that thy kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in Luke, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. That's where people are going to see the kingdom of God, how we reflect that, how we reveal that to other people. And then in Acts 4:13, it says, you know, Peter and John healed that guy. And it says, they marveled, for they were uneducated and unlearned men. And they knew they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of us are uneducated and unlearned? That's not an excuse. No way. Peter and John were uneducated and unlearned men, and they marveled at them. And they knew, absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, they had been with Jesus. It'd be awesome people say that about us, wouldn't it? Huh? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. And if 1 Timothy 6:11, it says that we must pursue righteousness, holiness. That's what God wants us to do. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9, we're getting there. And verse 10, it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, we should be on a mission to increase fruits of righteousness in our life. That should be our goal. That should be our goal. You know, sometimes our heart, you know, I was talking about a stony heart. And you know, sometimes we think we can hide stuff from God. You know, maybe we're dealing with lust, or maybe anger. Maybe we're greedy. Or maybe we're gossip. Or maybe it's pornography. Or maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe pride. Maybe we're liars. And we hide this from God. We can't hide anything from God. Nothing. Not a thing. What God wants us to do, in Mark chapter 4, he talks about going out and sowing the word. That's what it is. It's sowing Jesus in our heart. And when we sow Jesus in our heart, some of us are going to produce 30-fold return of Jesus, some 60, and some 100-fold. But I really believe to get to that 100-fold level, we got to get rid of this junk in our heart. Those sins that we try to hide from God, can you believe it? Does anybody else do that? No? Well, I do. I have. And I really believe that we have to have a conversion of our heart. There'd be a heart of flesh that is written, an epistle written by the Spirit of the living God, so that we can reflect Jesus, so we can mirror him to those around us. You know, John, you know, it says we must increase our fruit of righteousness. I was reading John 15 here about a month ago, and you know, I know I'm hooked onto the vine. There's no excuse not to produce fruit, is there? I mean, I got a great picture of Susie by the hotel. There are grapevines, little grapes hanging by that beautiful woman. It's awesome. But that vine was producing fruit, abundant fruit. And I said to myself, you know, Charlie, if you're not producing fruit, if not, why not? I mean, why am I not producing fruit? Fruits of righteousness. I should be able to examine myself daily and say, how come? And if not, why not? And the answer to that is right here. If we study that, we meditate on it, and we contemplate God's word, he's going to show us why not. And then we can address that in our life. And he will forgive us. And he will be our overseer. He will be our guardian. And he will be our bishop, so that we can accomplish that in our life. Isn't he wonderful? He not only forgives you, he wants to help you to have a good, happy life. Man, what a savior. What a king. What a Lord. The Rose of Sharon. The King, oh, he's just amazing. The King of righteousness with healing in his wings. The great I am, the Alpha, the Omega. He's totally complete. See, all these names of Jesus is just another way that he can help you. 365, I have a book that has 365 names of Jesus. And every one of them is a different aspect of our Savior. So he's got a complete program. I mean, hey, it's total, complete. He's not lacking in anything for us to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to have a holy, sanctified, to make our heart a sanctuary for him. So let's get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, if not, why not, Charlie? You want to do that? Just say it to yourself in the morning. Yeah, yeah, I might need it. So, Jesus, when we live for righteousness, when we practice righteousness, righteousness gives us deliverance from fear of Satan and his work, doesn't it? Look at Stephen. Man alive. I read in Acts here a couple weeks ago. Acts chapter 7, Stephen. He forgave him. He looked full of Jesus. I'm sure Jesus was just had his arms, you know, wide open. I don't think Stephen felt any pain. But his main concern, he gave him God's word, didn't he? He revealed who God, who Jesus was to every one of those scribes and Pharisees and the whole bunch of them. And then he forgave him. He didn't revile. You see, it isn't only Jesus that can be like that. We see Stephen. We see Peter. He thought it was unworthy to be crucified the way Jesus was. He wanted to be crucified upside down. That's how much he loved Jesus. Okay, when we have that sanctified, righteous life, we no longer depend on other people for our faith, do we? Look at Paul. Look at Peter and John. A guy was healed, and they marveled at him. They were a mirror. They were a reflection of Jesus, every step they took. On those Roman roads, we saw tracks worn this deep in that stone from chariots and carts. 600 years those roads were there. Well, they're still there, but I mean, the Romans had them for 600 years. In Galatians 2 and 20, it says, when we live that life of righteousness, that life of purity, that life of holiness, Galatians 2:21 says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Isn't that awesome? I want to come to that point, where it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Because I have made my heart a sanctuary, a holy place set apart for God. And when we have a life of righteousness, purity, and holiness, we used to say, they are reaping what they have sown. Now we say, Lord, help us to help them overcome. See, that's Jesus' attitude. And that's what will flow from us as we live this life of righteousness, holiness, and sanctification. When we have a sanctuary in our heart, that's what they're going to see. When we live a life of righteousness, holiness, and purity, we mirror God, we reflect God, reflect Jesus. Then we bring God to man. Isn't that awesome? That we can bring God to man? By living that righteous, holy, sanctified life? Just as he came to us, Jesus, as he came to us from heaven, now it's our responsibility that we bring man to God as a reflection of Jesus Christ in our life. And I just want to close and go back to John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And now Jesus wants us, all of you and me, to become the Word or Jesus. Same thing, manifested in the flesh. And they, the world, will behold his glory, not our glory, his glory, full of grace and truth. Amen. Hallelujah. People, God is big. He can change us. You know, sometimes we get trapped in these little things where, oh, it's genetic. It's just the way I am. Isn't God bigger than anything that Satan has to condemn us, to bring us to be less than God wants us to be? God bless you. Roger.